ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 3 Text 26. Yo yam kalasthasya te vyakta bando Chestam ahus chesta te jena vishvam Nimesha dirvat saranto mahiyangs Tam tveshanam chema dama prapadye. Word for word. Yaha, that which, ayam, this, kalaha, time, minutes, hours, seconds, tasya, of him, Te of you, of Yaktabandho, O my Lord, you are the inaugurator of the unmanifested, the original Mahatattva, O Prakriti. Cheshtam, attempt or pastimes. Ahu, it is said. Cheshtate, works, jena, by which, vishvam, the entire creation, nimesha adihi, beginning with minute particles of time, vatsara antaha, up to the limit of a year, mahiyan, Powerful. Tam, unto your lordship. Tva ishanam, unto you, the supreme controller. Chemadama, the reservoir of all auspiciousness. Prapadye, I offer full surrender. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O inaugurator of the material energy, this wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time, which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years. This element of time, which extends for many millions of years, is but another form of Lord Vishnu. For your pastimes, you act as the controller of time. But you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your lordship. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Sangita 552, Yachakshuresa savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rasesha teja yasya gyaya pramati samrita kala chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the supreme personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. Although we see the cosmic manifestation as gigantic and wonderful, it is within the limitations of kala, the time factor. This time factor is also controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Prakriti, the cosmic manifestation, is under the control of time. Indeed, everything is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has no fear of the onslaughts of time. Time is estimated according to the movements of the sun, Savita. Every minute, every second, every day, every night, every month, and every year of time can be calculated according to the sun's movements. But the sun is not independent, for it is under time's control. Brahmati Samvrita Kala Chakra. The sun moves within the Kala Chakra, the orbit of time. The sun is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord has no fear of time. The Lord is addressed here as Avyakta Bandhu, or the inaugurator of the movements of the entire cosmic manifestation. Sometimes the cosmic manifestation is compared to a potter's wheel. When a potter's wheel is spinning, who has set it in motion? It is the potter, of course, although sometimes we can see only the motion of the wheel and cannot see the potter himself. Therefore, the Lord who is behind the motion of the cosmos is called Avyakta Bandhu. Everything is within the limits of time, but time moves under the direction of the Lord, who is therefore not within time's limit. Yoyam kalastasya te vyakta bandho cheshtam ahus cheshtate jena vishvam nimesh adir vatsaranto mahiyangs tam tvesh anam kshema dhamma prapadye. This sloka is one of the prayers given by Devaki after the divine appearance of Vasudev, the son of Vasudev and Devaki. He didn't appear as an ordinary child would be born. He appeared outside of the womb as a small child, beautiful, the color of a monsoon cloud, with four arms, soft arms just like a little baby. But in each arm he was holding the insignia of Vishnu, the chakra, the gada, the padma, and the shankha. His hair was fully grown, and he was smiling, not the way an ordinary baby would take birth. So Vasudev, whose pure parental devotion to Sri Krishna is mixed with both jnana and aishwarya, when he first saw the Lord in this beautiful child form, he began to offer prayers according to his realization of who the Lord is. After he offered prayers, then Devaki began. Now, when we hear this sloka, quite honestly, when I was told to give the class, the first 2 days I read the sloka and the purport, every time I read it, I fell asleep, because I'm in the mode of ignorance, and I couldn't get past the understanding of the words in this sloka. But I knew, because I had heard in Bhagavatam classes and from Srila Prabhupada, that every single word is full of rasa in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I knew if I tried very hard to understand each word of this sloka, the rasa would start coming out. And that's exactly what happened. So every word in this sloka is full of rasa, and we'll understand how. Just as many years ago, in the 80s and 90s, when we started computer work here, computers didn't exist before that. We had computers here. We got our first temple computer, and no one knew how to use it because computers were new. So they had a series of big yellow books in the market, because nothing was digital in those days. And it was called, according to the programs, Word Perfect for Dummies and Basic for Dummies. You remember those books? And because we were all dummies, we had to rely on those books to learn how to run the computers. And then when you got more advanced and things entered into the universities, they had courses. It's still going on like this. When you take a beginner course, it always starts with 101. So you have chemistry 101, algebra 101. So today, we're going to have a special class called Rasa Tattva 101 for all the dummies who can understand how to pull out the rasa in every single sloka that we're reading that seems to be very opulent descriptions of the Supreme Lord when we just want to hear about the pastimes in Vrindavan, at least for myself. So this Rasa Tattva, in the Vedas, there are actually three topics. Those three topics are Sambandha Tattva, that's our relationship with Krishna. We only have one relationship, and that's with Krishna. And then there's Abhideya Tattva, that's devotional service, bhakti. That's where the rasa begins. And then there's Prayojana. Prayojana is the supreme goal of life, the Panchama Param Purush Artha. That's after Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. The fifth supreme goal of human life is this Prayojana, or Prema, love of Godhead, love for Krishna. So within these three tattvas, there is the Rasa Tattva. And just as with any science, you can speak to any medical practitioner, or even a car mechanic, or even an ISKCON devotee, because we're studying the science of bhakti yoga. Every science has its own what's called jargon, or language. In fact, sometimes devotees, they wanted to make a dictionary of ISKCON lexicon. It's called ISKCON lexicon, means the words you'll only find used by devotees, and only devotees know what it means. Like, did you take prasadam? That means, did you go eat something? So no one outside of ISKCON would understand what taking prasadam means. It's something that we all understand. So in every science, there's a language. A doctor. If you go to a doctor because he knows that you're not going to understand, that's why you come to him, because you don't understand what's going on in your own body. He won't tell you, well, this and that, he won't give you the technical description of what's going on in your body. He'll just write a prescription, you take the medicine, and you get better. My brother, you know, we have here an eye hospital in Barsana. So he never had any contact with the devotees, but he's an eye doctor. So he came here for a visit, he went to the eye hospital. Immediately, just like they were best friends for life, he could talk to all the other eye doctors because they spoke the same language. So when it comes to Rasa Tattva, there is a language to understand the mellows of devotional service. And that language is in Sanskrit. And that Sanskrit language, all of those words, cannot be fully translated into English. And we're in an English class right now. So this verse, it has all Sanskrit words in it. And we try to understand it according to the limitations of the English language. For instance, Devaki, the first thing she says is Yoyam Kalas. Now, Kala means time. And she starts with this because she's continuing from the previous verse, where she's describing in that verse, in 25, about the force of time, the Kala Vega, and how everything within this manifestation is under this force of time. But the force of time is not independent, and that's what she's describing in verse number 26, that this Kala Vega is actually under your control, and therefore you're fearless. Everyone is afraid of time. Now later, a few slokas later, when after Vasudeva returns and reshackles himself, and they hear the baby crying, and the guards run to Kamsa, what does he say? The first thing he says is, Kala ayam, time has come. Now, which kind of time he was speaking about, whether the time for his death has come, whether time meeting the Supreme Lord has come, whether he's talking about this little baby as time, we don't know. But he was so afraid, because that was his rasa, because he was pratikul, Krishna conscious, he was always meditating on the Supreme Lord in fear, in anger, in hatred, in jealousy. So these were the different, what's called vyabhicharis, but in pratikul. So in the rasa tattva, we have here, we know that there are five major rasas, and that's shantaras. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept shantaras as a rasa because there was no exchange. So dasyaras, sakyaras, then vatsalyaras, and finally the topmost, madhuryaras. Now whatever, these are called stayi bhavas. That means, stayi means to be very steady, steady stayi. So these rasas remain with us. They're internally, according to how we're created. And these first three chapters, and onwards, throughout the entire Komara Lila of Krishna, even in Goloka, we are doing an in-depth study of the Vatsalya rasa. In the Poganda Lila, that's the middle age of Krishna, the predominance of the rasa is Sakyaras. And then in the Kaishurya Lila, that's officially from age 10 to 15, but Krishna started earlier, that's the Madhurya Rasa. So we don't want to jump ahead. Those of us who are imagining that we're in Madhurya Rasa, we're in Vishramba Sakyaras, if we know a few terms. First we have to understand, because this is the way Sukadeva Goswami is presenting it, we should understand very clearly the glories of Vatsalya Rasa. This Vatsalya Rasa, just as with any of the rasas, they have their sattvic bhavs. Sattvic means things that happen in the body that are outside of your intellectual control. We sing about them every morning in the Guru Vastakam, Romancha Kampashru Taranga Bhajo. Romancha, no one can force their hairs to stand on end. It happens automatically without our control. Kampa, trembling. And ashru, the tears of love. These things come without any effort, intellectual or emotional effort on our part. They come automatically when we become imbued with prem. So these are the sattvic bhavs. Now, there are eight. Stunned, perspiring, hair standing on end. You can study them in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But in the Vatsalya Bhav, there are nine. That's because there's a ninth one, and that is flowing of milk. That only, of course, happens in the elderly women, the flowing of milk. Flowing of milk, you can't pretend. And you can see this if you go to the Goshala during the milking time. The cowherd men are very intelligent. This has been going on since the beginning of time. The first thing they do is they bring the calf to the mother. And as soon as the mother cow sees the baby calf, all of her motherly, her vatsalya, affection, vatsa means calf, it automatically comes and her milk starts to flow. And even in a human, when she's feeding her child, and the milk starts to flow. You can read this in the Krishna book. Prabhupada will mention it. The sari becomes wet. And that's because the milk flows from all directions. Not just one. Not just I'm going to feed you on this side, then on that. No, the milk just starts flowing. So when the cowherds bring that calf, the milk starts flowing from all the four different udders of the cow. And they take advantage of it while the mother's licking her calf. So this is the ninth sattvic bhav of Vatsalya Rasa. Now, Devaki, because in rasa, in love, There are stages. These stages have different names. There are two major stages. One is called Aishwarya Purna, and the other is called Aishwarya Shithila. Aishwarya Purna you can find in Mathura, Dwarka, and Vaikuntha. And that means their love for the Lord is imbued also with jnana and aishwarya. That means they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they completely appreciate all of his opulences. So this is Aishwarya Purna. Then there's Aishwarya Shithila. And the Srila Prabhupada says that prema begins when this Aishwarya Shithila stage is attained. Shithila means absence. When we completely forget about the opulences of the Supreme Lord and simply love him. Now, we'll be able to do a comparative study of the two mothers of Krishna. Because actually, this is not the birth of Krishna. This is the birth of Vasudev. Just as we're chanting, when we put on our tilak, Vasudev is here. When we're chanting at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, this is a Prabhav Prakash, a plenary expansion, an empowered expansion of Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna that's now appearing before Devaki and Vasudev. Therefore, the son of Vasudev, he's called Vasudev. At exactly the same time, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is appearing to Mother Yashoda in Gokul. So you have the simultaneous births of Vishnu to his parents, Devaki and Vasudev, and Krishna to his parents, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And because one of the births took place in Mathura, therefore, their love for Vasudev, is tainted, is imbued. We won't say tainted because it's a particular type of love that they're perfectly happy with. They have jnana and they have aishwarya. And therefore, they're offering prayers when their son appears. Yashoda never offered any prayers. She never prapadyed. She never surrendered to her son. No. She has a completely different rasa. But they're both vatsalya rasa. Because one is Aishwarya Purna, and the other is Aishwarya Shithila. Now, another term is Priti Sankuchita. Sankuchita means shrunken. When we maintain, in these verses, for instance, and we acknowledge the Supreme Lord with all of his powers, with all of his opulence, our love becomes shrunken. That's what sankuchita means, shrunken. Love becomes shrunken when we acknowledge the presence of the Lord's opulences. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there's no acknowledgement of the Lord's opulences. And this is in every single rasa, all of the five rasas. There's the rasas where they acknowledge the opulences, and the rasas where they completely forget. The madhurya overcomes the aishwarya in Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula, and the aishwarya overpowers the madhurya in Mathura, Dwarka, and Vaikuntha. And we can analyze this as we go along. For instance, in Sakyaras, there's two types of Sakyaras. There's Sambrama Sakya, and there's Vishramba Sakya. Sambrama Sakya are the friends of Krishna in the cities. There are two big cities, actually three. Mathura, there's Uddhava. His guru, Brihaspati, was a great jnani, so he also learned jnana. He was the best friend of Krishna. Krishna says there was nobody more dear to him than Uddhava. But his love for Krishna was Sambrama. He knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, and he treated him like that. He couldn't forget it. And when he came to console Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and he saw their condition of feelings of separation with all of the Vyabhichari Bhavs, we'll learn what they are next, rolling on the ground, sickness, crying, stunned. They just couldn't bear the separation from Krishna. He began to preach to them according to his rasa. He says, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all pervasive. He's everywhere. How can you feel any separation from him? And Nanda Maharaj, because of his particular bhav, he said, stop it! Stop it! He's my son! He couldn't accept his vision of who Krishna is. Mother Yashoda said, he's my son, don't talk like this. I used to feed him my milk. So they have no concept in that particular type of vatsalya ras of the opulences of the Lord. Arjun, he was a sambrahma sakya. When he saw the universal form, he became frightened. He started to offer so many prayers. But the friends in Goloka Vrindavan, they would jump on Krishna's shoulder, they would fight with him, they would challenge him. If Krishna was eating something that was delicious, they would grab it out of his mouth. If Krishna saw them eating something, he would grab their neck and pull it out of their mouth. This is a different type of sakyaras. This is called Vishramba, where they have no concept of Krishna being the Supreme Lord. Even in Dasyaras, all of the rasas, Madhuryaras, we read later on in the further chapters a comparison between Rukmini's love for Krishna and naturally Radharani's love for Krishna. Radharani, one night, Krishna didn't show up in the kunj of Radharani. And her spies, of course, they each have their groups. They informed Radharani that right now Krishna's in Chandravali's kunj. And Radharani, she became mad. We read about this in the 47th chapter about Radharani's madness. She said, black men are irresponsible. She said, nothing black. I don't want to see anything black. Then she looked at the sky. Black face. I don't want to see you. Then she started to talk to the creepers and the stone pillars. And this is all madness. Madness is one of the ecstatic symptoms of the highest form of love. But we see it as madness because we can't understand. We're not on that level. So, but Rukmini could never speak like that. When Krishna finally came, the gopis kicked him out. They said, you get out of here. You go back to Chandravali. Our Prana Priya Sakhi, she doesn't want to see your black face. Go! So this is the way it is in Braj. They don't see Krishna as anything other than their most beloved. And they treat him in a very different way, just as here, Devaki, how she's offering her prayers. So we'll go on with a few more words. Avyakta Bandho. Avyakta has many meanings. It means unmanifest. But here also, Prabhupada translates it as the Mahatattva or Prakriti. A Bandho, in English, we have the word friend. One word. In Sanskrit, there are three different types of friend. There's the Suhrit, the well-wisher. Like Prabhupada, he's our well-wisher. He used to always sign his letters, you're ever well-wisher. That's the Suri. He's always looking after the benefit of his friends. Then there's the Mitra. Mitra is our relatives, our social friends, the people that we can talk to and have fun with. Mitra, in between. And then there's the Bandhu. Bandhu are official friends. Official friends means you don't have an intimate relationship with them, but you're still friendly with them. So this avyakta bandhu, inaugurator of the unmanifested. Here Devaki is discussing that this whole cosmic manifestation, it's all under the control of Sri Krishna, that Bandhu, the Bandhu of this Prakriti. We know that Krishna has, Vishnu has no direct relationship with the material energy, Prakriti. Just by his glance, everything is moved, put into motion. And the entire lifetime of Brahma, from morning, night, all of his 100 years, which is billions and billions of years by our calculation, is just a nimesha of Vishnu. Nimesha means just a blink, less than a second. So we can imagine how long the supreme, if the nimesha are blinking, and the entire cosmic manifestation, that's just one blink of the Lord, what eternal time must be like. So the morning, the daytime, and the nighttime of Brahma are, we have dissolutions, we have so many yugas, all of that is within one time, because in the material world, time is relative. And it depends on days, nights, months, years, and lifetimes. In the spiritual world, there's no concept of past, present, and future. The pastimes are going on eternally. In the spiritual world, every day, Krishna and Balaram spend the day herding the cows with their friends, and at night they enjoy with the sakis. It goes on eternally. But the festivals still go on. We have a little concept of this in our own life, because every year we celebrate Janmashtami. We never say, well, I just celebrated Janmashtami last year. Why do I have to celebrate it again this year? No, for us, Janmashtami is a wonderful celebration every single year. And we forget. We don't even care that we celebrated it 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. Every year, we love to celebrate Janmashtami. So all the festivals are like that in the spiritual world. Those festivals are going on one after another after another. We never think, oh, I'm so tired of this. Why? Every single year we have to do the same. Never, never. In the spiritual world, all of these pastimes are ever fresh. And that's why there's no past, there's no present, there's no future. These pastimes are going on ever fresh all the time. There's the absence of this passage of time in the spiritual world. But in the material world, everything is running by time. And this time is controlled in each universe by Savita, by the sun god. And how's that? Because he starts his orbit, this Kala Chakra, and he doesn't go one fraction of an inch out of his orbit, because if the sun goes a little bit one way, then the whole universe will burn up. A little bit another way, the whole universe will freeze. All the living entities will freeze. He stays right in his orbit. And his orbit is, within 1 year, he goes to the north of Sumeru Mountain, and then in the other half of the year to the south. And that's our summer and winter. So this Kala Chakra is all being controlled by the Supreme Lord. And all of the demigods, they're also being controlled according to this time frame. Everyone is within their orbit of time. We're within our orbit of time. We're given 100 years to perfect our life, perfect our devotional service. If we don't perfect it, then we go up or down according to our karma. But for the devotees, karma is eradicated. It's the one thing that's not eternal. All the others, time is eternal and prakriti is eternal. This karma of the devotees is eradicated at the time of diksha. And Prabhupada gives the example that Maharaj Bharat, he did not become a deer because of karma. He became a deer because he wasn't fixed in his worship of the Supreme Lord. He was worshiping Shalagram. He deviated a bit, and he became attached to the deer because of his past habits, past attachments. So Krishna gave him a little slap by giving him one birth as a deer. And Prabhupada compares that to the births here in Vrindavan. He said, you look at the monkeys, the hogs, the dogs. These are all just the slap of the Lord, not from karma, but because they were devotees in their previous life and they performed some type of deviation. So they're being given this animal birth, getting rid of the reactions of whatever they did, and then they can continue in their next birth in a liberated stage. So all of this is under the control of the Supreme Lord. It's not that the Supreme Lord is also under the control of time. He comes and goes according to his wishes. So the sattvic bhavs, they come automatically, and then there are anubhavs in the vatsalya rasa. These anubhavs are very different from the other rasas. Anubhavs include things that we would do, we understand what we're doing. For instance, a mother and a father, they naturally, with affection, they'll kiss their baby, they'll embrace their baby, they'll stroke their baby's limbs and look at them, and they'll speak to them, it happens naturally. As soon as you're with a little child, you start talking baby language, right? Goo goo gaga, and you start talking very simple language to them, because that's the way, it's an anubhav, talking very simply to the child. And then there's another anubhav restraining the child. No, no, don't go out the gate. Go. And that, this is the way Mother Yasoda would treat Krishna. She was always worried that some animal would come, he would fall, the monkeys would come and attack. She was always trying to restrain him, not from getting hurt. And sometimes she would even have to chastise him, just as when she had to tie him up, because she was getting so many complaints. So these are the anubhavs in vatsalya ras. Things that we do consciously, but only are contained within this vatsalya ras. No other rasa do people do things like that. Then there are what's called the vyabhichari bhavas. Vyabhichari is three different aksharas put together. V means something very specific. And abhi means toward. And chari means to move. So vyabhichari means to specifically move towards something. Another definition is disturbing elements. Just as you have a very clear and calm water, the ocean, and then there are waves that go towards the shore. So the vyabhichari bhavas, these are waves within the ocean of our love. And some of them are disturbing. Fearfulness, remorse, disease, mriti. Mriti means desiring to die, but not dying. Ogra. Ogra means, it comes from ugra, violence, when we get angry. These are all vyabhichari bhavas that actually enrich our sthayi bhava, or our set relationship with Krishna or Vishnu. Now, these vyabhichari bhavas in vatsalya ras, there are 33 total, but not all of them are manifested in vatsalya ras. For instance, in vatsalya ras, the parent never becomes violent with the child. You'll never hear of that. But they do become sick upon separation. There's one vyabhichari bhav called glani. Glani means to think yourself unfit for a position. So Mother Yasoda was thinking, oh, the milk, the makan, I didn't do it nicely enough, I have to try harder. So these vyabhichari bhavas, we can study them, there's so many different types of them, these enrich the love by increasing our activities and our loving affairs with Krishna. And then, aside from the vyabhichari bhavs, there are special ways that according to the love we have for Krishna or Vishnu, we express ourselves. And that comes from what our real sthayi bhava is, what our real relationship is with Krishna. And that doesn't change. It increases according to our devotion. So we have to learn about the different types of relationships. And now Sukadeva Goswami, he is describing this particular type of vatsalya bhav with mixed with jnana and aishwarya. So Devaki, she goes on and she says that this cheshtam cheshtase, it's all your activities. Cheshta means work, activities. And how is it? Nimesh adi, beginning with just this blinking, this little, from the little second up to vatsara antu, up to the years, everything is under your control. Mayams, you are so great. So she's praising the Supreme Lord, who's appeared as this little baby. You are so great, everything is under your control, time is under your control, and therefore you are fearless, because anyone who is under the control of time, they're afraid because their time will run out. Now Prabhupada explained one time in Mayapur, he was giving a class, and he said that at the time of birth, we are each given a particular number of breaths. And when those breaths are finished, that's when we die. So he said that the pranayama, the reason that the yogis practice pranayama is that they can extend their breaths and then they can live for a very long time. That's what pranayama is all about. Controlling your breath, because then you can live for hundreds and hundreds of years. Then he says that when you engage in illicit activities, you simply waste your breath. And then he breathed into the microphone. He was breathing very heavily, as if to imitate. Do you remember that? No. As if to imitate when we engage in illicit activities, how we simply waste our breath. So he said, do not waste your breath, because according to this time element, you're just given a certain number of breaths. You use all of your breaths for glorifying Krishna. So here, according to Devaki's realization, and Devaki is not an ordinary mother. She is Deva Mata. She is the mother of all the demigods. Because she's the mother of Vishnu, and all the demigods come from Vishnu, she is also the mother of all the demigods. And she is on the same platform, transcendental platform, as Krishna. And that's why she is able to offer these prayers to him directly, face to face. Such an elevated devotee. But in a type of relationship that we may not be particularly attracted to because of this addition of jnana and aishwarya. The residents of Vrindavan, they want nothing to do. When the gopis saw Narayan standing there, they just offered their respects and they asked him, did you see Krishna go by here? They weren't interested in Narayan. So that's Brajabhav. That's those of us who are residing in Vrindavan, it means we want to have a relationship with Krishna devoid, the Shitala, Aishwarya Shitala, devoid of the remembrance that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We want to have that intimate relationship, that madhurya relationship. And this madhurya is not just in madhurya ras. This sweetness is in all the rasas in Braj. It overpowers so that we forget about the opulences of the Lord. But Devaki, although she was close to Braj, close to Vrindavan, she was still in Mathura. Mathura is just 8 kilometers away. But you'll never read that Devaki and Vasudev came to Vrindavan. No, they didn't have that bhav. They always remembered that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they suffered intensely separation from him while he was here. Now when, there's one trick to this. Devaki, she's offering these prayers saying that you are fearless because fear, the time does not affect you. And we are full of fear, but you can make us fearless. But then she reverts back to her motherly affection. And she says, if you are in this Vishnu form, just see what Kamsa, the word Kamsa means one who destroys. Kamsa, he mercilessly killed all of my children. If he sees you in this form, certainly he will come and kill you. Now she's recognizing that he's a supreme lord, but then she forgets. She thinks that Kamsa is going to come and kill him, even though he's a supreme lord. So as a mother, that's another of the anubhavs. You want to protect and you want to nourish the child. So she wants to protect her child, although he's the protector of everyone. So she says, please remove this form of Vishnu and just look like a small, ordinary baby so that we can hide you somewhere. So they didn't know yet that Krishna had a plan. So Vishnu, after he hears the prayers, and he explains to Vasudev and Devaki, because even the pure devotees, they don't remember their previous lives with Krishna. So then Vishnu explains to them that this is the third time I become your son. You perform great austerities as Sutapa and Prishni, and I came before you. You said you wanted a son like me, but there's no one like me. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? We all know that verse. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam. Mam ekam. I'm the only one to surrender to. There's no one like me, so therefore I had to become your son because I had to fulfill your benediction, what you were asking for. So now, after I became Prishnigarbha, after I became Vamana, now I become Vasudev. Now you're asking me, because you're my mother and father, to take an ordinary child form with just two arms. I'll fulfill your request. But then when he became that small child with two arms, that was the form of Krishna. And they're not the mother and father of Krishna. So he immediately said, now you have to take me to Gokul, because they're my father, mother and father are there, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So Vasudev, he picked him up. By Krishna's arrangement, the shackles, everything, the doors open, the guards were sleeping, he started to walk. He reached that area in Gokul where the maternity home was. Mother Yashoda was in deep sleep. He put the baby down, that little small child who was now Krishna. Then he picked up, he only saw the girl. He didn't see the second child there, who was Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Yogamaya covered him so that he couldn't see that child. He picked up the girl and brought her back. And now we have two forms of the Lord together there in Mother Yasoda's maternity home. And it's described, Prabhupada also later describes this, although it's not described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is described in the Acharyas, they refer to two other authoritative scriptures, the Harivangs and the Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami. But later on, Prabhupada, in a purport, he'll also confirm this, that Vasudev feature, because he is a plenary portion, the Prabhav Prakash of the Lord, when the Supreme Lord appears, all of his portions, the kalas and the everything, the angsas, the kalas, everyone, is contained within the Supreme Lord. So that Vasudev form simply merged into the form of Krishna. So now we have one Krishna. And that Krishna, throughout his childhood, because he had to fulfill the benediction of Nanda and Drona and Dara, they could display the childhood pastime so everyone would be attracted. Then for the first 11 years of his life, he stayed there with Nanda and Yashoda in Gokul. Okay, any questions?
When you speak of Vasudeva and Krishna, I mean, it's the same person, but Vasudeva is in a different mood. I mean, although Vasudeva merges with Krishna, but it's still, you know, we don't get the idea that Vasudeva is in a different thing, Krishna. I mean, it's still Krishna, I mean, it's in a different mood.
Yes, he's partial. This Prabhav Prakash.
Yeah, I know, and that's all confusing, partial and expansions and divisions and whatnot. But it's still, I mean, Vasudeva Krishna is also Krishna, but it's in a different movement.
He's four-handed Krishna, so he's Vishnu. He's Vishnu.
It's like the judge at home, he's a judge, but at the bench he's also the judge, but he has a different role.
Yes.
Okay. So Krishna, but actually
in a different
role. Okay. Mark, you want to straighten this out? Straighten me up. It's on.
Number such and Ryan saying if that's 101, I can't imagine what 102 and 4
the child has come from my own womb.
Yes.
So it is officially that my son, so I must protect him, I must love him, I give all protection. But your presentation, it appears that you minimize the importance of an official friendship.
I was just repeating what Srila Prabhupada wrote about the three different types of friends. Now, when it comes to the example you were giving about when Krishna showed his opulence a little bit to Mother Yasoda, when she saw that manifestation in Krishna's mouth, her reaction was, oh, has my son been attacked by a witch? Is he being haunted by a witch? She never thought for a moment that this was the opulence of her son. So this opulence is completely covered by her relationship of this motherly affection for Krishna.
Bandhu. My son, I have given birth to this boy, this child.
I didn't read that anywhere in the explanations, but of course, yourself being far more read and educated and intelligent, Bandhu would be that term also, like we have Dina Bandhu, things like that. But according to what Prabhupada wrote, these three different types of friendship, the Bandhu meaning of friend is an official friend. So I only know what I read. I'm sorry, my knowledge is limited only to that point. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai.